Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff and I'm coming at you like a gamer with a headset and a mic, yeah. Like a cross between Britney Spears and a Fortnite player, I think.
Yes.
You look so like Britney Spears?
I have put the dress on and shaved my head, so there's that. so I might sound a little bit different, but I'm still good old Cliff.
Still the same person, aren't you, at heart?
on the inside, I'm the same.
On the inside, you are. Uh-huh. You might sound like a robot, but it's you.
Well, it is me, so I apologise for any problems. It seems like I dropped my microphone at the end of the last episode and it has not recovered. I thought after a week of convalescing, it might return to its former glory, but I think I fucked it. So, sorry. But hello, that's still me. You are.
You hurled it at the wall in disgust, didn't you, after
did,
the last episode?
At Apaches.
I'm Brett. I'm just myself this week, as ever. My equipment's working in pristine order.
Always a fucking show off, aren't you?
Everything here is tip top.
Good. Well, it's good to hear that. There's also some fireworks going off here, and it's that classic January 12th fireworks display. I don't know what it is, but it's been going on. I don't know what's happening. I can't see any, so I'm not sure.
I can't hear any, mate.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm sorry for raising the alarm without due forethought. I'm also not very well, so I think my voice is a bit knacked. And I might cough, but I think what I've got is called hot whiskey.
Is it hot? Or is it just because of where you live? That's hot.
Left it outside.
Well, that would be where it is then.
7 degrees yesterday.
7 degrees?
Jeez. I know.
Terrible that, isn't it?
They've done something with the clouds in the sky. They've gone and it's freezing.
It's 2 degrees here, so it's worse here. We'll still beat you some kind of record that we need to win.
Well, I mean, not much has happened in the world since we last spoke, has it?
No, nothing at all. Elks breaking into Congress.
Yeah, that. And I think the main thing is that Sunderland have signed a man called Carl Winchester from Forest Green Rovers, which is, all.
He's might the great be a good player. Gun.
He might be a good player, but that is all you need to know about Sunderland AFC at the moment, I think.
He's not going to be good, is he? He's going to be absolutely terrible, isn't he? He's going to be shite. So there you go.
He's not going to fire us back into the Premier League, I think. But anyway, that's the main bit of news.
He might with his gun. Might with his gun, you never know.
But he's Winchester.
Mr. Winchester. Could do that.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
What else has happened? Oh, I sent you the thing about that that television program in Denmark, or the kids program, about a man with a giant penis.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the visuals of that. I saw there was arguments on both sides for and against that
who are the people like for it though? I mean, what's all that about?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really look into what the point of it was, but I don't think it's justified. It's not necessary, is it?
It's not necessary at all.
Would they make a kid show with a woman with massive tits?
No, but I was reading a little bit of it, and they said, "Well, we could have made one where a lady's vagina was out of control. Would have been the same thing." I don't think so, but there you go. this is an odd program in Denmark, and this is the description: John Dillamond has an extraordinary penis, so extraordinary, in fact, that it can perform rescue operations, etch murals, hoist a flag, and even steal ice cream from children.
Shouldn't be going anywhere near the children, should he, with his extraordinary penis?
really shouldn't. I mean, that's just mental, that. We'll have to dish it out and see if we can watch it, though. Sounds intriguing.
I mean, it sounds like your kind of thing.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Right up your street.
What do you mean by that, like? I don't look at knobs all day.
Just extraordinary ones. I've seen you searching for them.
I've been to Tenerife. I've been to Benidorm and saw the acts. Seen all that, man.
What else has happened? So England or the UK and America are even more fucked than they were this time last week, which it's hard to think about it, isn't it, that every week it gets worse and to new lows every single week.
It does. It's insane. And haven't we banned you from coming over or something?
I can't come back. Right. There was a list that meant if you come back to England from Dubai, then you didn't have to isolate. And now you do for 10 days. But is everybody not in lockdown anyway? Like, it wouldn't make much difference, would it?
Well, that's it. I mean, everybody's
you're not allowed to go out anyway.
I know.
Don't see what difference it makes. I just did think it was funny last week. So on the news, Britain discussing whether to enforce tests for people coming into the country. Although it's a year too late for that. I don't understand why they're still discussing it now.
I know. Well, they weren't even testing people at airports and stuff.
That's what I mean. So they're just discussing whether they should make it mandatory. Last Thursday.
It's just insane.
Yeah, yes, you should. I'll answer it for you now. Yes, you should. And you should have been doing it for around a year. That's what should have been happening.
Yes, you should. Cliff, have you ever heard of a person called Bobby Wine?
Bobby Wine?
Bobby Wine. It's a good name, isn't it?
It's a great name, but no, I don't think so.
He's hoping to become president in Uganda as Bobby Wine.
Oh, I've read a little bit about him today, yeah, but I didn't know the name.
Aye, it sounds good. He's a singer, and he was arrested for annoying the current president. That was the charge. Well, you've annoyed us now. Well, Bobby Wine.
Did you just keep tapping him on the shoulder going, President? President.
I think he did something very similar to that, actually. I think he dissed him, or he wouldn't talk to him or something, and that annoyed the current president. So Bobby Wine was arrested.
And now he's running for president.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll annoy you even more now.
Number one, I will not arrest anyone for annoying me. I pledge.
My first judgment.
Will he pardon himself if he gets it?
Second, wine shall be free throughout the land.
My own brand wine. Bobby's wine.
Bobby's wine.
Dispensed from my penis.
My extraordinary penis.
So there's that. I mean, America, fucking hell. That's totally, totally insane.
It's mental, isn't
what's
it?
Happened there?
On Limp Bizkit fans, really angry.
It looks like it. Come out of that woodwork. Found a calling after all this time.
You know, it's just insane. It was the day after I spoke to you last week, I think. And
yeah. I think Jane said before, you know, I think it's the elk man. Even that, I don't really understand what the outfit's about. He looked like a wrestler.
No, I don't.
But Jane said before that his mom's been on on the news saying he hasn't had anything to eat for 3 days because they won't serve him organic food in the prison.
What a dick.
He's got a fucking animal on his head.
What a complete dickhead. Oh my God. That's
just ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, there's not even we can say about that situation, is it? It's totally insane. Like,
it's like an 80s film that you watch and you go, oh, this will never happen.
Yeah,
you
know, this is stupid.
She's watching it on the telly. They're all insane. It's just a man with a plinth and, you know, people sitting in chairs. What the fuck? I mean, what a bunch of dickheads.
And then I think in England, the main thing I think is the main thing that's pissed me off this week or the last couple of days is this meal voucher scam that the government have managed to sort out for themselves and their mates now. It's absolutely outrageous. What's it called? Cartwell or Chartwell, this company that they've somehow magically given this contract to supply the £30 of meals for kids that Marcus Rashford, I think, has generated.
He tweeted the day a picture of it. It's just a disgrace, isn't it?
It's like half a pepper and a tin of tuna, a bit of a tin of tuna in a plastic bag. Like,
it's like you can imagine them just thinking, right, let's get this right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of we're going to be under the microscope here. We need to make sure that we'll get this right.
You really think that there's ever said, let's get this right? Let's
no, definitely not.
Who should we give to do this? Oh, well, my mate can get his hands on, he's got some knives and that and some scales, so we'll give him
30 million quid or whatever. And
it's
let him
absolutely
do it.
Outrageous. I mean, it's yet another, this is a scandal. It's just been constant scandals for about a year at least. But this one just shouldn't be allowed to rest, really. It's a disgrace. Yeah. And the thing that gets me is all the time when you've got kids and parents and working class people or non-working class people or people without jobs saying we can't afford to live on a fiver a week or whatever, or tenner a week and all that kind of stuff, you've always got these right-wing commentators in the Daily Mail and the Telegraph and all of that shit going, well, it's easy to live on £5 a week. You just need a bag of porridge, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. These guys who are their mates have managed to spend £30 and not get enough for one fucking meal. Like, it's just... Mm-hmm. Those people won't now be saying, well, you can get a lot more food than that than for £30, can't you? Because it would just massive double standards. It fucking stinks. It all stinks. It's never been... Why has this company got that contract to do it? Like, and why are they being now allowed to do what they're doing? It's cronyism.
It happens all the time.
I know.
It happens all the time with the conservatives. They're constantly at it. They're constantly doing it.
It's ridiculous. They should be fucking put in front of The Hague or something like that. They should be. The gross negligence.
Well, they're not doing their jobs. That's what it is. You're right. It's gross negligence.
You're thinking negligees again, aren't you?
I was thinking of negligees. It's gross them as well. I mean, I've never seen gross negligee, but
exist.
This is it. No, you're right. It's disgusting. I saw the picture that Marcus Rashford tweeted, and it's just an absolute disgrace. Let them eat it. Let them bastards
let
eat
them
it.
Eat
live on that. Let them eat cake. Exactly. Swines.
So to cheer ourselves up from all the hell that's going on in the world, we decided to revisit the greatest time of our lives, and probably in the world ever. The mid-1990s.
Yes, which is the greatest time for everything, including football.
Yes.
Which is what we're going to talk about, really, isn't it? We're going to talk about Fantasy Football League.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful. I loved it. I used to tape it off the telly and watch it again. Stuff like that. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, 1994.
And probably still the best. It's probably the best football program ever, isn't it?
What you about know? That one? There'll be some people going...
Copycats.
What about... was it called Under the Moon with Danny Kelly and... what's his name?
Under the Moon?
Owen Goulds and Gaff Sky. What's he called again? You know what I mean? I hate him.
Oh, the Millwall fan.
Baker, yeah.
Yeah, Baker. Uh-huh.
Him and former NME journalist Danny Kelly. Used to have a Channel 5 late night kind of football phone in.
Right.
There'll be some hipsters, old hipsters it's saying that was
there. It's that memorable. I don't even know what it is. So yeah. There you go.
I think it was for people older than us. It wasn't the fun, anarchic, off-the-wall, irreverent fantasy football league on BBC Two between 1994 and 1996, presented by comedians Frank Skinner and David Baddiel.
Yes.
What a show.
It wasn't that. It was brilliant. It's a simple idea on the face of it. The only thing that isn't sort of simple is the actual fantasy football, which is as confusing as out, isn't it? The points
kind of didn't really do that for very much, did they? Like,
I think, yeah, they sort of phased it out, didn't they? They realised that was a little bit confusing and things. But I always used to like checking out, you know, who Bob Mortimer had picked.
Yeah.
You know, and his team.
Yeah,
and
it was
like
good
that.
When they did do it. So essentially the show is presented by those two guys who weren't massive stars at the time. Frank Skinner was like a respected stand-up and obviously big football fan.
I think Baddiel was the more famous
of the two out of Newman and Baddiel and the Mary Whitehouse experience before that. Mary Whitehouse experience a little bit, we were probably a little bit too young for. And Newman and Baddiel, to be honest, I didn't really watch. I was watching Vic and Bob, but I didn't really, this always seemed a little bit too, like, too clever for me. Uh-huh. Like, I didn't really get it. I remember some of the lines and some of the sketches and stuff off it, but I think
that's you, that is.
Yeah, that's the main one, isn't it? That's what I remember most out of all of that. I think David Baddiel was kind of like the more famous of the two, but also certainly where we're from, I think he was the one that everybody was a bit like, yeah, he's all right, but Frank Skinner's the best one.
Yeah, probably. But I think they were obviously, you know, brilliant together and stuff. That's what I think. It wouldn't work without both of them because it's two mates, like, you know, fundamentally just sitting in the flat like they would have done because they owned a flat together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just talking about football. And they didn't really hold back on stuff either, did they?
No,
that
I think
the
that's
the appeal of it.
Yeah, that was good. I think that's, we've said before, like, it's a bit like podcasts now, isn't it? You've got people just chatting to each other and it's quite casual. You can get away with stuff and it's not really regulated that much or at all.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of say, and if people want to tune into it and listen to it, then great. There's something for everyone. And I think you don't really get television like that, but this show really is that. It's two mates who've been given a platform to talk about what they want to talk about and then take it in kind of any direction that they wanted it to go in, which is great.
It is.
I mean, it was such a big hit with us and when we were this age. And I mean, we were 13, but you can also imagine being 18, 20, coming in from the pub on a Friday night and absolutely loving it. So it probably had that quite a broad appeal for certainly young men at that age, but maybe lasses as well. I just remember absolutely loving it, and certain bits of it stick out. I remember it came back for tournaments later on ITV, and it wasn't as good.
It didn't have the same. I mean, obviously, there was stuff like Bridget Nielsen and things like that with that, wasn't there? Where she came home, she was mortal getting her mummeries out.
Yeah.
So there was things like that I remember, but most of the stuff that I remember is from the earlier series that was on BBC Two. I mean, one that sticks out for me, I mean, it was like the birth of the Premier League at this time as well, wasn't it? I mean, everybody was mad for football, men and women as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just amazing things would happen. Do you know what I mean? They would talk about those things. For example, the best one was obviously the Cantnor thing where he kicked the fart.
Yeah.
And I remember one episode where there was someone in the audience shouting at Stato.
Yeah.
Stato jumped up and kung fu kicked the
fart. Yeah.
It's just class. So it was like, you know, it's the football would go on like through the week and they would talk about it on the Friday. So it was always up to date. It was always relevant. And
then you can look at Soccer AM that came after this.
Yeah.
And was very successful.
I mean, it's still like that.
Yeah, I like
it. But it's not as good as this. This is a template, isn't it, for the most type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that show really would have existed without this one. In my opinion, very similar setup, couple of sofas, people joking, poking fun at football, showing clips of funny things over and over, getting bands on and other people on that aren't necessarily footballers but fall into that sphere. It's kind of the same idea, really. And they just took it to different places.
It is, but I don't think asked people to send pornographic pictures in of people who look slightly like footballers. Which is amazing, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic.
Well, honestly, I just remember it was great. And it was one of those where you'd be talking about it at school on Monday when you got in. And all of that kind of stuff. Because again, we're talking about a time when you didn't really have mobile phones, or you didn't have mobile phones. You weren't texting each other. You weren't on the internet and all of this. And not everybody had Sky. Well, I didn't have Sky, so I didn't get to watch the football, you know. So this was really like one of the only chances, other match of the day, you got to see clips of little things that you might not see. Wasn't like
well,
now
that's
where
the...
there's clips of on Twitter over and over and over again of people doing daft things.
That's the other thing. I mean, it also sort of showed you clips of things that you definitely hadn't seen before. I mean, one example that I can remember is the Zambian free kick against Brazil.
It's the greatest moment of football of all time. Like,
but I'd never seen that before. I'm not gonna like find that on Match of the Day or anything like that.
I feel like I'd seen that, but I'm not sure how.
I'm sure watching fantasy football would have been the first time that I'd seen it.
Maybe if anybody hasn't seen it, I feel like I'd seen it before. Yeah. But
no, I think definitely for me, if anybody hasn't seen it, what happened was Brazil have got a free kick and the Zambians are sort of, you know, lining up the wall and the referee blows the whistle for Brazil to take the free kick and this lad just darts out the wall and kicks the ball away, doesn't he? And then he goes like, what?
Doesn't understand the rules. Doesn't understand the simple rules of a free kick.
I mean, imagine the 70s and stuff, though, watching World Cups, and that's what my dad would always say. It was something would always happen. Something crazy would always happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, everybody knows the rules. It's not as good.
Well, that's one of the great things. Like, and what we actually watched to talk about this was they had a video out, Fantasy Football League, the video. Which I have to say, I don't think is that good. Other than it shows you all of the Phoenix of the Flames, pretty much. It shows you like 13 Phoenix of the Flames, which is what they basically recreated these funny moments in football, like that Zambia free kick with one of the original like offenders in it. So they got, I don't know, like Gordon Banks or George Best, one of the ones
George
that we watched
Best.
Today.
And
like a famous moment from their past and recreated it in a park with jumpers for goalposts and all that. And it's just, it was so funny because one, you didn't really get to see these old footballers and them taking part in this really stupid, childish recreation of their goals where a lot of it was a total piss take, not of the people, but just of the, like, not of the people who were there necessarily, but of like all the stuff that used to go on in the background of football, like when you watch it on the TV and stuff like that. And you got to see that. And that in itself meant you, because you do that in the school, right? You go, oh, I'm going to be George Best today, or I'm going to be Alan Shearer for some of our mates. And I always used to want to be Bobby Fowler and all of that kind of stuff. Like, you used to do that. And these guys are doing it with like their heroes and with this famous stuff.
It's the best job ever, isn't it? And also to make it funny like they do was, I think, is very, very clever.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like a simple sort of idea. Or let's just recreate moments that we remember or we loved or what have you. But then the interjection of the comedy and stuff like that, yeah. I just think super clever and not easy to do either, I don't think.
I don't think so. Especially because the guys are, typically these guys aren't necessarily like that funny or going to be that interested in joining in with the joke. And I think that kind of adds to it sometimes.
It definitely does.
But I think that, so the show is basically them sitting in a flat, which is essentially a kind of recreation of a lad's flat. They did have a flat together. Apparently it's inspired by a bit of that, but it's a bit of a student-y front room. I was just saying to Jane, we were watching it. She was like, I used to watch this, but like Jane's got no interest in football. She was like, I used to watch this, but like, I can't remember why, because I don't like football. And she was like, there was loads of this stuff where everything was based around like a sitting room, wasn't there? Men Behaving Badly. What was that one?
Yeah.
With Samantha Janison.
Game On.
Yeah. There was a lot of these mid-90s shows where it was all centered around like lads in a living room living together. So it kind of ties in with that. It's also, we've talked about it before, the fast show, Jumpers for Goalposts, isn't it? And all of that kind of stuff. This nostalgia for this old kind of football, but the fact that there's such interest in football and foreigners from outside the UK were playing in England like more readily and all that. Like there's loads of these shows and these like the musicians and all this stuff kind of just bled into each other. I think it was just great.
It was good. It was like lad culture and stuff as well at that time, wasn't it? It's just the start of all that kind of stuff. So it definitely sort of bled into that, and all the musicians and stuff like that of the time seemed to sort of really like football, Oasis and Blur and, you know, people like that. And obviously the Lightning Seeds, who they had the three-line song with and things.
Talking about that, did you see Mark Wright from The Only Way Is Essex came on for Crawley the other day when they beat Leeds?
I did, yes. Just to rub it in.
How funny is that?
It is mental, that, isn't it? I mean, I watched the game and Crawley deserved the win. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
Proper old school team. They just had two strikers up front. One was really fast. And, it was great. But yeah, then they brought him and his brother on, didn't they? Which was odd.
So funny.
Did it to take the piss.
Anyway. I know.
Crazy man. I know.
So so it used to be them two in the living room. At first, like we were saying, the notion of fantasy football was kind of just getting off the ground then with the birth of the Premier League. We all did it in school. We used to do it outside of school. We'd be swapping players, adding the points up. I used to run one. I'd have my own system and tot all the points up.
Well,
we do transfer.
Now that you mentioned that, Mr. Clifford,
okay.
I have my book with us at the moment from when I did run a fantasy football league at school.
I mean, I don't have any of that stuff anymore, but.
I've kept this for an awful long time, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the team.
Go on.
But first of all, it's embroidered with quite a few stickers. And one of the stickers, I don't know if you can see. Can you see that one? Who's that?
I mean, it looks like it's not. It's Ricky Otto.
Because at the time there was the Premier League sticker book which everybody had, but obviously me being a Sunderland supporter, I had to buy the Ensley League sticker book.
Ricky Otto played for Southend
United. Yes, what a player Ricky Otto was, and I think he was mentioned quite a lot on fantasy football.
Yeah,
wasn't he? Satan Greavesy bit where they were talking about the Ensley League, and they would always cry that they didn't have the Premier League and stuff. It is important. Right. In goal, I had David Seaman.
Okay,
so that's all right, isn't it? I don't really have any comedy defenders apart from Jones, who was that Liverpool right back.
Rob Jones,
and
he's
Neil
all right.
Ruddock. Neil Ruddock's in there as well. I have Stuart Ripley in midfield.
Okay.
Flitcroft from Manchester City. Up front, what do you think about this front three? Fowler, Letizia, and Niall Quinn. It's not bad, that is it.
It's not, but Niall Quinn wasn't that good at the time, was he? So
Well, he was playing for Man City, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know, but they were crap.
Yeah, Quinn was their best player, man. But on the bench, I've got Philemon Massinga.
Yes, Philemon Massinga.
What a player Philemon Massinga was, eh?
Is he dead?
I hope not. I certainly hope not. On the back here, I've got the actual thing out of the Sun newspaper, where I got all the players and stuff like that and how much they cost. Would you like to pick a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, or a striker?
He is dead.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It is, isn't it? Sorry. What would I like to do?
Would you like to pick a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, or a striker?
I'll pick a defender, please.
Right. And which team would you like to pick from?
Coventry City.
From Coventry City? Right. Let's see. Right. How much do you think David Boost was worth?
I was hoping it would be him.
It's David Boost, of course.
Can I just ask, is his leg straight?
Mm-hmm. I think obviously this was before his career-ending injury, wasn't it? I doubt they would include him in this fantasy.
Don't mean to laugh at your career-ending injury. No, I think, okay, so what we're talking, this is what, 1994?
1994 or 1995 season.
Okay, yeah. So Roy Keane would have been a British record at the time, 4.5 million, was it?
This is in the the fantasy league. I'll give you an example.
And I'm just trying to think of how much money people will be worth. I think David Boost is £800,000.
Oh, you're very close. He's £600,000.
Is he?
£600,000. Brian Burrows is also £600,000 as well. He played for Coventry. So there you go.
Interchangeable.
Some fantastic old players.
Is Mark Wright there for Coventry? The other Mark Wright.
Mark Wright.
He played for Coventry at the end of his career, didn't he?
Not during this one. You could add Phil Barb, but Phil Barb cost a whopping £2 million.
Well, Phil Barb, as we all know, went on to win the best Irish centre-half in the Portuguese league before Sunderland signed him, which I think he presented himself.
How much do you think Jimmy Glass is worth, the Palace goalkeeper who famously scored that goal for Carlisle and kept
them in the league?
Aye.
Jimmy Glass. So he's never played a single game in the Premier League. So I would say he's worth £120,000.
£300,000 for Jimmy Glass. So.
Okay. Worth more than that, the Carlisle fans.
He certainly is. He certainly is, isn't he? I mean, I think the highest player that you could buy was probably 4 million. I mean, Teddy Sheringham, he has 4 million, so, and Jurgen Klinsmann's 3. So, snips. But yeah, it was good thinking back there. You know, when I used to do stuff like that with the fantasy football at school and things
like
that. Well,
it's mad. Like we were in different schools and we met each other around this time. But yeah. I was doing the exact same thing at our school with like Barker and and the lads there, like in Wardy and stuff. Like I ran the one there. I also ran one. There was a computer game on the Amiga where I actually played the league. So we had like a draft kind of thing where everybody signed players, and then I just ran the league out in real time and played the games, but with like nobody playing it, like let the computer play the computer with the teams that people had bought. That was probably far too much work to do. I don't know why I did that.
There's a certain amount of trust that needed to be placed in you there.
And also, I don't think people did trust us with it.
No, I mean, on my one, I charged a pound entry fee. I mean, this it never got finished. I think we did about 12
pounds,
weeks of it.
Where did those pounds go?
In my pocket, of course.
I think they went to the officers' club.
Don't think the officers' club was a thing then. It might have gone to Geordie Jeans.
Maybe
nice Geordie
Jeans, yeah. I remember one, I signed Duncan Ferguson when he had just signed for Everton, and I was sure I'd got a coup by signing him in the playground, and I was correct, because he was great.
He was great. Proto battering ram, wasn't he? Didn't he go to prison in Scotland for elbowing someone on the pitch?
Headbutted them, I think.
Headbutted them.
Must have stooped down.
Must have done.
So I think what else? Like, there were some other good bits. So basically, they sat on the sofa. They had guests on. At the beginning, they were asking them who they would have in their fantasy football team, which was quite interesting. But they kind of ditched that as it went on and just focused on sketches like Phoenix from the Flames, like we said. They had the guy Stato, who actually went on to be, he was like big, like odds man, wasn't he? Like,
and he ended up being a commentator.
But he was like the butt of all the jokes. Just used to ask him random things. He would know the stats. There was a recurring joke about Pineapple Head Jason Lee, which probably went too far, and he says ruined his life. And I think it was a bit racist. I think you can tell some of the things when you're watching it. It's definitely like different times, because you wouldn't be able to do or say a lot of the things that they say on it. But it was very much of its era. And I'm sure both David Baddiel and Frank Skinner, if they had that same platform now, probably wouldn't make some of the same jokes.
No, I mean, they definitely wouldn't do it now, would they?
I went to a Sunderland Notts Forest Reserve game, and I'm with the express intention of mocking Jason Lee. Remember, and it must have been at Roker Park. I remember shouting like Pineapple Head at him, because Neil Webb was playing in midfield for Forest Reserve.
Yeah.
And Jason Lee was up front. I can't imagine. It's the only reserve game I've ever been to for Sunderland. I can't imagine another reason that I would have been there other than to shout Pineapple Head at Jason Lee.
That is terrible. What an admission. Terrible. Are you saying that David Baddiel and Frank Skinner have inspired you to abuse?
They must have done, though, because that's where it came from.
So do you think? Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, probably. It's got nothing to do with you, Cliff. That was their fault.
And the other,
took the piss out of everybody.
Yeah, I know.
That was the thing. Everybody was like, including themselves, they took the piss out of everybody, didn't they? But I think you're right. I think they definitely went a little bit too far with the Jason Lee stuff.
The other thing was, Frank Skinner managed to get his hero Jeff Astle on the show. That's every week, didn't he? Who was crooned a song at the end, so it was really like funny. Like, I think Frank Skinner said at some point he was worried, he thought he was taking the piss out of him a little bit, but he just had him on genuine affection, wanted him on the show because of that. Like, he loved him so
much.
He's
a hero, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a hero.
And also, like, really, Jeff Astle's, sadly, the pioneer in the research that hasn't gone far enough about dementia in footballers, which I know every season, like, people say it needs more work and all of that kind of stuff. And Alan Shearer talks about it a lot. I heard Gareth Southgate.
That's why nobody listens, because Alan Shearer's talking about it.
I heard the other day Gareth Southgate go, like, there's just, like, we just don't know about the correlation between it. Like, I don't know. Why are you saying you don't know? There is a correlation between it. Loads of these guys who've headed the ball loads have got dementia. That's a correlation.
I mean, obviously, the balls were a lot different, you know, when Jeff Astle was playing and stuff like that.
Yeah, famous header of the ball.
A lot heavier. Yeah, and I mean, there's that, like, famous picture of where he is headering the ball, and you can only see half the ball.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's like he's headering that sort of that hard. I mean, I work in schools, and when the kids aren't allowed to head of the ball in training and stuff like that now. So they have changed things like that. You know, they're allowed to do it in games, but they're not allowed to head of the ball in training.
Well, headers are the worst anyway. I don't know why anybody want to do it.
Well, I love headering the ball personally. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I really do. The first goal I ever scored was a header, and it was a from a corner, and it was swung right in. So I always like headering. I mean, it is a skill that you do need to learn if you want to be a footballer.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's different ways you can do it with sponge balls and get your technique right.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a game at the end of the day, isn't it? Nobody wants to see people sort of suffer and live.
Yeah, I just remember, like, at the time, I didn't really know who Jeff Astle was until he was on this show. And I think that's another good thing about it. You know, we used to watch videos of you know, old World Cups and FA Cups and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, again, it's not really like now where you can kind of watch any of those clips whenever you want. So a lot of the stuff that they showed it was like, obviously these guys' heroes were people who played in the 60s and 70s, not like our heroes are the guys who were playing then when this was on.
I mean, the only thing that I would say is car boot sales were a godsend for me.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because you would pick up like, you know, football videos and stuff like that. And I'll buy, if there was a football video there, I would buy it. It wouldn't matter to me what it was, as long as it wasn't Newcastle, obviously. I wouldn't have that. But, you know, so I remember sitting down and watching sort of, you know, the Brazil 1970 sort of team and stuff like that on video and things. And it was after this, I think, the own goals and gaff thing started, wasn't it? Probably, you know, from the success of, like, fantasy football, they've started all this kind of thing off, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we had a couple of mates like Dan Ward. He used to have a lot of these. And his cousin, our mate, old mate, McCann, he was the guy who had all of these football videos, like literally all of them. He had everyone, so he'd be able to watch any of these like compilation clips from him. I remember we went back to his place after being out one night and watched a video, 501 German saves.
That is a good video, isn't it? German saves.
Not even great German saves, just German saves.
Was it just a shot of Oskar Schindler?
How many were on his list? That's 20.
David Baddiel would like that. That's a nice Jewish joke, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I think so. I hope he would approve. But yeah, obviously McCann was a keeper, but I just remember thinking 500, you haven't seen one goal.
I mean, I know that's video. Awful, that, isn't it? That is awful. I mean, I would definitely watch the ones that were like, you know, the 100 greatest goals ever scored.
Yeah.
And I would love the fact that a random Czechoslovakian player would pop up with a stunking overhead kick or something. But no, I don't think I'd watch the saves one.
So yeah, I think this one that we watched actually wasn't that good. It was just a vehicle for the Phoenix from the Flames, really, wasn't it? There was no like guests and no kind of audience, because interaction and stuff which they usually had. So it all felt a bit flat other than the clips, which were great. But yeah, it was just like watching it again. It was funny.
It's nice to see George Best, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, great. I mean, like I couldn't believe it when he was on. Couldn't believe it when he popped up, to be honest. I hadn't forgotten the goal to one where he knocks the ball out of Gordon Banks' hand. Well, just knock it out of his hands. Like nicks it
it's
off.
It's clever though, isn't it? It's clever. Can you remember when Gary Crosby did that? I can't remember who the goalkeeper was. Was it Andy Dibble?
Yeah, I think Dibble.
He had it in his hand and he headed the ball out of his hand. And he
really got disallowed for that, didn't he? That one.
The George Best one got disallowed. And the Gary Crosby one was allowed for some reason.
It's worse. So the George Best one wasn't in his hands.
No, he threw it up, didn't he? And just sort of kicked it away. But that just shows George Best how clever he was. Always sort of thinking when he's on the pitch. But there was a good bit where David Baddiel's talking and he says, "No, I don't turn up for training." But in the end, George Best knocks him out anyway, doesn't he?
Yes. I've got a quiz for you, a football 90s themed quiz.
Oh, lovely.
And I'm going to unbox it in front of you.
It's one of them unboxing things.
Comes from the board game Terry Venables invites you to be the manager. Can you take the pressure?
I can take it. Cliff, I can take it.
Can you?
Where are you getting that from?
I got it years ago off eBay. It's quite expensive. It takes fucking a day to play. I haven't played it. I brought it here. I haven't played it all the time I've been here. But part of it is like there's questions. And I'm going to ask you some.
Excellent.
I would remind you that this is Terry Venables and it's from the 1990-1991 era. So a lot of the answers are Tottenham Hotspur.
Right, I'll keep that in mind then.
Or Gary Lineker.
Is it not about his ill-fated time as Barcelona manager? Or his dodgy dealings whilst he was England manager as well? There was always this thing. That's why he quit, wasn't it? Because there was dodgy dealings going on. He's always getting called up to court and that, wasn't he, Venables?
Yeah, he's a crook.
him and George Graham.
On these cards, there's like three questions. One, football. One, entertainment. And one, books. But I don't know what the books is, just general knowledge.
One, books. Well, give us a couple of football and then give us one entertainment.
So the thing is, obviously, the questions are like of the time. So it's like, who does this guy play for? You've got to think back to when this might have been. Right. Let's see what we've got. Who? I've got it. What have Pat Jennings and Mark Falco got in common? Do you know who Mark Falco is?
He was a striker, Mark Falco, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, what's he got in common with Pat Jennings?
Well, Pat Jennings played for Tottenham and Ireland, didn't he? Northern Ireland.
You're almost there. You're almost there. You're on the right lines.
I'm on the right lines, am I? Good jeez. Are they Irish?
No, they both played for Spurs. And do you know who else Pat Jennings played for?
Liverpool,
Watford, and Spurs. Okay. Who captained West Ham twice to FA Cup victory?
Brooken?
No. Former manager. Brooken took over for
West,
a bit.
Redknapp?
No, the one he ousted. The one he stabbed in the back.
Bonds?
Billy Bonds, yeah.
Fancy getting a West Ham question,
so he,
right?
I know. So here's an entertainment one. What was a big number for Paul Hardcastle?
19. Is it 19?
Yeah, what a way to phrase that question.
What a big number. What was a big number? There's a hint in the question.
What was a big number in his life? Okay, another entertainment one for you. What colours were Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder in 1982?
What, is this a racist question?
It's up to you. Depends what your answer is.
Well, I'll go for the safe ebony and ivory.
Yeah, that's the correct. That's
what colours?
Oh, what club did Terry Venables and George Graham both play for?
It's a tough one. That one,
I don't know this. I wouldn't have known it.
It's got to be a lower league club when they either started or when they finished. Brighton?
Chelsea, apparently. Didn't know
Chelsea.
That. No,
oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, here we go. Put these bosoms in order.
Bosoms?
Yep. In order, I presume, of size.
This is... You haven't wrote these questions, have you?
No, it's there on the card. Right. Your three ladies are...
Right.
Anne Margaret, Marilyn Monroe, and Jane Mansfield. Put them in order.
I think Jane Mansfield is at the top of the list.
What order are you going in? Best to worst? Biggest to smallest, well, same thing.
Who's Anne Margaret?
Sorry.
Who's Anne Margaret? Who's Anne Margaret?
Actress.
Is she a handful? I don't know who Anne Margaret is.
Barely,
right. I'll go Anne Margaret, Monroe, and Mansfield.
That's the correct order.
Oh, yes.
What a question. Why is that? This?
That Venables is a brilliant question.
Venables has written that himself.
He's insisted upon that question. But you know, I'll do it as long as you put this question in.
Anne Margaret is 36 and a half, Marilyn Monroe 37, and Jane Mansfield 39 and a half. Don't know what, but that's the numbers.
37 what? That's a fantastic question. I like that. Best question ever on the podcast.
Right. In what 1971 film did Jane Fonda play a prostitute? Why have we been doing any other quizzes other than this?
I've got no idea about that.
It's Clute.
Clute.
Yeah.
You spelled that wrong.
Okay, so here's a question for you. When did Chelsea win the FA Cup?
in the only history.
They must have only won it once up until this point.
Well, if I can go into the future, they beat Middlesbrough a million times in the final, that, yeah. Didn't they? Didn't they, that season, Middlesbrough get a two finals and also get relegated?
I think so, yeah.
Mental season, that, isn't it? It would have been the 70s, wouldn't it? Because I think Osgood and that would have been playing. So is it 1970?
Yes!
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. 1970. I like that. What is the aim of this Venables game?
You've got assigned players, different values. You've got to build a team from goalkeeper to striker. And then as that's going on, you play games where you've got to roll dice to win like what the score is, basically.
Yeah.
So I would play
Sounds
you.
Sounds good.
Whatever. Yeah, it's pretty good. Do you know who plays at Brisbane Road?
Oh. No. Is it not at Luton? No. I was going to say Luton, but no. No, who plays at Brisbane
Road? Leighton Orient.
Oh, and you begin with an L. Come on, another two.
Another two? Okay. Here we go. What's the connection between Terry Venables in his own game and Johan Cruyff?
Well, the Barcelona connection, surely.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Here we go. What? What is Yeovil famous for? What are you doing? Rustling.
I'm having a look. Yeah, I'm rustling.
Did you hear the question while you were rustling?
No, I didn't.
What is Yeovil famous for?
What is Yeovil famous?
This is the football question.
They're famous for having green and yellow shirts, I would say.
Green and white, isn't it? No, that's not right. The green answer white, yeah. is it's famous slope. But I feel like you could say it's famous something, anything to the answer to that. What's it famous for? It's famous books. Like, I presume the pitch must have a slope.
It must. I've got a question for you being a good Catholic and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a question from the Bible. The son of Nathan is the son of who?
What? Sorry?
I'll give you a different
Also,
one.
I think this is religious bullying.
No, it is not. the son of Levi is also the son of who? This is from Luke 3.
Okay.
176.
Moses?
No.
Oh, that would be too bad, wouldn't it?
It's Malachi. This is a good one because this is a little bit about football. The son of Hezron is the son of who? Now, I will give you a clue. He was a footballer, a goalkeeper, and not a very good one, especially when we went to Wembley.
When we went to Wembley?
Yeah.
Who was it then? Lionel.
Yeah. Perez. Perez is the answer. Well done. Yeah, so you've got one religious question right.
Okay,
there,
thank you. I don't like that segment, but okay.
You don't like the religious segments?
No.
Why?
Weird. Why have you done it?
I just found the book.
The book, the Bible.
Yeah, well, there's only one book, isn't there, Cliff?
There's loads of books and within it, isn't it? That's how it's ordered.
That's the Bible. This is the sacred book. And that's what I read from.
Okay.
Well, I like your quiz. So well done.
Might get some more of them out next time. It's probably good. Or maybe we could play the game live over the podcast for about 9 hours.
Yeah. We'll get people to pay for that, I guess, won't we? In some way.
Yeah.
Right, definitely.
Well,
lovely.
Thanks for being some 90s nostalgia with us, doing it, being it, having it, reminiscing it, living it. thanks anyway. Thanks everyone for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it and that. I think we've got a guest on next time.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have.
We definitely have.
So that's going to be a bit different. We'll look forward to that one. You can follow us on Twitter at F Circus Pod, Facebook, which is just the name of the podcast on there. But probably more importantly is if you would like to like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever you listen to us on, give us a review on Apple and all of that. That would be much appreciated. To see us out today, Brett. I like this song. Mm-hmm. You want to tell everyone what it is?
Yeah, we've got music from 20th Century Sun, and he's a singer-songwriter from Glasgow, and the song's called Shout It Out Loud, and it's from the EP of the same name.
Well, that is very nice. I very much enjoyed it. Got a lovely organ on it, hasn't it?
Lovely organ. Everyone loves an organ.
You know how much I love an organ.
So you love an organ. You do.
Enjoy this, everyone.
You're partial to an organ.
And we will speak to you again next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Summer's gone, you're keeping on, but the nights are cold and gray. You shout at home all on your own, waiting for the day. You read your books and the things you took will start to take their toll. And if you let them, they will come and try and take away your soul. Just wait, tomorrow brings you sunshine. Just wait. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.